Hey, this is Randall.
And this is John.
From the Don't Wake the Kids podcast.
You're listening to our favorite podcast,
Weird. I hope you're ready for some funny.
Ace Podcast.
Weird.
You know, not many people realize I play the triangle in that song.
No, I do. I see it every week. I thought it was a cowbell, though. I didn't realize it was triangle.
Well, I mix it up. Sometimes it's a triangle. Sometimes it's a cowbell.
Yeah.
It really is a cowbell.
Yeah, all I play is drums.
Yeah. Actually, we don't do anything, but you know who does play guitar on that?
Mark Patch. The great Mark Patch.
Yeah, friend to the podcast, Mark Patch.
Yeah, friend of the show for sure. Yeah. You know, another friend of ours, Randall.
Yeah, Randall.
Yeah, he tweeted, passed away. Randall passed away.
Oh, my gosh.
I think he died laughing at I think it's what he said. Yeah. I sent him an RIP.
Nice. Because he was laughing, listening to this podcast and thinking to himself, how did they get away with that?
Yeah. No, he's thinking to himself, am I the only listener?
He's thinking, I am the only listener.
This is all for me.
He's like, hey, we didn't really say who we were, but...
Oh, by the way, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Craig, and this is the Weird Podcast. Not the Weird.
No, it's just Weird.
It's just Weird.
It really is Weird.
It's kind of weird that I would say the Weird. That's like saying going to the Walmarts.
Yeah, it's weird.
Or the Googles.
Something. It's like, just, hey, it's you know what?
What?
This is the last Friday before Christmas.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, you just said it.
And for Christmas, you know, I actually... You know what I get for Christmas this year? A day off.
Wow.
Yeah, we're closed on Christmas.
Wow.
I know. No more of this. And that's when they rush in. So my sick
the Russians?
Leave, not the Russians. Crap. Well,
that didn't
work. Would have been funny. let me try it again. Not the Russians.
There is a rabbit with a pin kick on his head.
The rush. They call it peak at Amazon. It's over. And I'll go to 40-hour weeks. No more of these 6-10-hour days in a row. So the podcast might get funny again. Or might get funny.
Hey, don't you have a review?
You know what? We got a review.
Yeah.
Another 5-star review. And it's titled, Survey Says.
It's from Philo65.
Yes. Thank you so much. Because what it says is top headline. The Two Dudes Podcast makes headlines as one of the funniest, most informative breakout news podcast.
That's for people that are trying to break out.
Dateline Tennessee. Weird. Reaches episode 200 of podcast, shining a light on the strangest, most bizarre, funny news. That's a headline from the future, and I can't wait.
It
we're
is.
So close.
Yeah, we're so close to
most
200.
Bizarre, funny news stories from the U.S., the world, and yes, even Florida. Don't miss out on this great podcast as they toil their way through stories of chocolate chalupas and shrimp pants, all the way towards episode 300.
Man, could you imagine?
What a great review.
Oh, it's awesome. Hey, thanks, Philo65.
Thank you so much.
You know... We're going to be at 200 right before you know it.
I know.
It's crazy.
You know, in 2018, we will hit 200. As long
in
as
2018, you will hit 200.
as long as I don't die from work. And
yeah, this whole work thing, how's that working out for you?
It's good. It's good. It's fun. It's a fun job.
No, I'm at the part about actually getting up and doing something.
You know, I'm losing a little weight, feeling a little great.
I'm finding it. I'm in my Christmas.
I'm exhausted.
I'm in my Christmas expansion mode right now.
Yes. You're expanding for Christmas.
What are you saying?
I said you're expanding for Christmas.
You said yes. Like,
adding on to the house, right?
Do I look really fat right now? Is that what you're saying?
You're putting in a new fridge?
I just became the girl in the relationship.
Ooh, you got
can we have a top story?
Yeah, you can take a top story. Top story.
Top story.
Last minute gift idea, guys.
Oh, good. I might need this.
Give the gift of Olive Garden breadsticks this holiday season.
No thanks. I mean,
they are pretty tasty.
They're really tasty, but you don't want to put them under your tree, right?
I don't know. Maybe I should read and find out.
You better not let Alpha in if you got breadsticks under your tree.
Man, he's in a weird mood lately.
What's wrong with him?
I don't know. He went at somebody yesterday.
No.
He never does that.
Are you serious? Well, you sicked him on me that day.
Yeah, but...
And he came in and licked my face.
He thinks you're a chew toy. But the thing is that, like, Alpha's a big German Shepherd-ish looking thing.
Great dog.
Like 80 pounds.
Very friendly.
And somebody was in the house just out of nowhere, he got crazy. And then he's a fully house-trained dog. We never worry about a thing, right?
Yeah.
He walks up to this little 3-foot-tall Christmas tree, pees all over it. What the heck, dog?
He's stressed, man. He's suffering from
that
holiday stress.
Something went wrong. The stars were aligned weird. Something, because he was not himself yesterday. Was that a random story?
That was a complete random story, and that had nothing at all to do with with our top story.
Right. So we should probably go back and try that again.
Story. Yeah.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Great news for the Olive Garden fans on your list.
I will say.
Are you listening? Did your ears perk up?
I am an Olive Garden fan.
Now.
Is that Hank Hill again?
No. I'm reading the sentence as it's written with a typo. Now you can them what they really want this holiday season.
They left a word out.
Now you can get them. I'm not doing that again. I might. Now you got it in my head again. Now you can give them what they really want this holiday season, a box full of breadsticks. That's
nice.
Right.
Nice.
Now, when you order the chain's famous breadsticks to go, you can request to have them packaged in a gift box.
That's
yes?
So funny.
Yes. Yes. A gift box. All you have to do is dress up with wrapping paper and bows.
Now, you left a word out that time.
No, it says all you have to do is dress it up.
Yeah, you didn't say it. You just said dress up.
I want them to dress up. I want our listener to dress up.
And go to Olive Garden.
All you have to do is dress it up with wrapping paper and bows, and voila, a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Christmas miracle may be an overstatement.
Yeah.
At just $3.99 per half dozen, that's kind of overpriced. There's no requirement for how many. $3.99 is overpriced considering you can go there and stuff them in your face all day.
Free.
Yeah. Well, nothing's really,
not really free.
Not at their prices.
No, but you pay for one order,
right,
and you just keep eating.
There's no requirement for how many you need to order to get a box, but they're designed for large quantities, of course, for 18 or more, so why not go big?
I want a big box.
You can never have too many breadsticks after all. Well, there's some doctors that would disagree. We don't know about you, but this just made our Christmas wish list.
Not me. I'm not wishing for that.
I'm not a big Olive Garden fan. Like, when I get there,
yeah,
I enjoy it okay.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be the guy that goes, hey, let's go to Olive Garden.
Have you tried the Domino's cinnamon twists? They're like little bow ties.
No.
They're good, but they're not as good as the cinnamon breadsticks they normally have.
I'm really sad. I went to the brand new Burger King we got.
Yeah.
And after I got my Whopper with cheese, which I love the Whopper with cheese. It's a classic.
Yeah, I love it too.
I happen to glance over in the window. They've got one called a farm something burger. It's got an egg on it.
Yes.
And I'm like, dang it.
I have not had good experiences yet, and I've been to the Burger King twice now. And
it was good today.
Okay, but maybe they're getting the hang of it.
There was nobody really there. I mean, there were just a few people there. It was better. Under stress, they don't do well.
Hey, I told you I had a little surprise for you, right?
Yeah.
We got a Kim Jong-un story coming up right here.
Yeah.
That's a Kim Jong-un theme song.
Those lyrics seemed a little racist.
Finally. He said, I got a mushroom crowd for you. That's what sold me on it.
Who sings that? Was that a North Korean band?
No, it's not. It's somebody just making fun. Anyway, headline is.
No, it's not. It's somebody making
headline
fun.
Headline is, North Korea's elite are injecting themselves with gold. Kim Jong-un.
Are they having to get it from him?
No, they're getting it from their bagels. They're buying those $5,000 bagels.
Oh, right. That makes perfect sense.
Kim Jong-un and his elite are giving themselves gold injections to cure cancer, senile dementia, and obesity. Well, I know at least two of those aren't working. Maybe he needs a higher grade of
gold.
It
does say him. It says and his elite.
Yes. Yeah. His top scientists have released a gleaming new range of drugs that they claim are better than anything available in the Western world.
They always are.
They topped us again, Craig. Only the great and the good of Pyongyang.
Once you've conquered the weather system, how can you...
He wants to conquer meds now.
Yeah, all that. Yeah.
Yes, weather and medicine, he'll be all right. Mountain climbing. Anyway, only the great and the good of Pyongyang will have access to this new this new gold standard of health care. The leadership's hopes to export the potions to the West.
No, we're not letting you import anything. Sorry.
And the packs come with English, Chinese, and Russian instructions, according to local reports. One is called the Nanogold Polysaccharide Injection, developed by Korea Myung Trading Corporation, according to the nation's official top paper, the Pyongyang Times. Developers say it is infectious in its treatment prevention, fat liver, hepatitis, liver cirrhosis. That's how we say it. Diabetes, insomnia, cancerous diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, hyperasia, Hyper Asia. That's where I'm from.
Hyper Asia.
Aging, senile dementia, addiction to drugs. It cure drug addiction. It cure alcoholism. And it cure chemical substances and complications.
Complications? Did you just say complications?
The injection cures patients of chronic diseases as well as obesity and weakness.
That was an
You're
Australian.
Off the rails.
Yeah, that was
You're
an Australian
off the
Asian.
Rails. It was a North Korean that moved to Australia with his family.
He's recommended for everyone to take it as it relieves physical fatigue and invigorates oneself.
I'm so glad you have this one.
Another
me.
New concoction made from the earth apple tuber is to be good for hangovers.
The earth apple tuber?
That's what it says. And diabetes. The newspaper reveals it's also, what's that word? Efficacious.
And sure. Efficacious.
Efficacious in treating diseases of the circulation system, of the blood, inflammation, skin diseases, and diabetes. I wonder if you can get it in generic. It's silver.
It's probably not yet. Probably not yet. Well, we don't get bronze here.
No.
Most likely. Hey.
Yeah, yeah.
This just in.
Oh.
California man gets stuck in chimney during burglary attempt.
Ho, ho, hold it right there, mister. He's not coming into this house.
No, Citrus Heights, California. Authorities say a Northern California man tried to burglarize a business by entering through the chimney only to become stuck.
Happens all the time.
Found later by Phoebe Cates. Police in the Sacramento area, city of Citrus Heights, said Friday that 32-year-old Jesse Berube...
B. Rube
was uninjured, but now faces one count of burglary. According to police, Berube slid down the chimney of the business Wednesday and then found himself lodged inside.
Why do people think that that's a good idea? Have they seen too many movies, I wonder? You can't.
This is still a better idea than anything coming out of Florida.
True. True.
The Rockland man was able to reach his cell phone and dial 911 for help. The Sacramento Fire Department responded and used special equipment to extricate him. To excrement him.
They didn't want to cate him. They wanted to extricate him.
Excrement.
No. No. That's not it.
That's probably what happened right after.
Sure. When he realized he wasn't going all the way to the bottom.
Police called Berube a noob. And no, they called him a criminal Santa who does not have the same skills as the real deal.
Well, you know why? I mean, the real Santa's magical. He can make himself like the size of a snowflake and just drift down the chimney if he wanted to.
You're a snowflake.
I am not, and we got a story about that coming up in the next episode or two, by the way. Headline is, vandals damage the Great Wall of China by cooking noodles.
It's not so great now, is
it? It's the noodle bandits.
It's not so great.
No, it's not. It's just the Wall of China
now. It's just now the Wall of China.
A group of vandals decided to cook instant noodles at the Great Wall of China on December 9th, damaging some of the country's cultural relics in the process. The incident was witnessed by a volunteer who saw smoke coming from the Great Wall's Panlong Mountain section. After seeing the smoke, the volunteer immediately notified an official, identified only by his surname Lee.
Everybody raised their hand.
Who then saw a number of people fleeing from the scene with noodles hanging from their faces. Two people remained at the site but refused to cooperate after being questioned by the official who asked for their identification.
We asked him to follow us down the mountain, but they were uncooperative and they refused to show us the ID cards, Lee said,
who extinguished the fire with the help of his colleagues.
At the end, they just left and we could not stop them.
You know, actually, I'm really impressed that there is a difference between your North Korean
and
your China.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you never noticed that.
You've grown a little.
To make matters worse, officials revealed that the vandals who were caught were also freeloaders, as they didn't even pay the entrance fee to the iconic UNESCO World Heritage Site. China can reportedly fine offenders who damage cultural relics up to 500 yuan.
They're getting off easy.
$75, along with the up to 10 days of detention. I don't want to be detained anywhere.
I don't like the idea of being detained.
No.
Don't like that at all.
In Florida.
Headline is, oh, wait, I can't say that, can I?
You just did.
I just want to say that all the time.
Well, go whatever. I don't care.
This just in. Woman leaves six-year-old to guard parking space.
Mother of the year.
Seemed like a good idea at first, I guess. Mom of the year goes to a Florida woman who left her six-year-old child to guard her parking space in her apartment complex.
While she was gone for the weekend.
Yeah, while she went shopping at Publix nearby. Elda Solis, 47, was charged with child neglect after police reports of the incident. She admitted to leaving her child there when police questioned her the next day.
I hope she wasn't doing what we refer to in our house as the big shopping.
Yeah, where you gone for a while.
Yeah.
Not only did the woman leave a six-year-old child unattended outside, but the incident allegedly occurred at 10 p.m.
Past bedtime.
The child told police that this was a regular occurrence.
So she says, "Daughter, please go out and stand in the parking space while I go to the grocery store."
That was more Florida mom. You stay here.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my smokes.
Don't you move from that spot. I know it's oily.
Oily?
Yeah. She's in the parking lot. You know,
oh, where the oil I thought drips. You meant we're going to get up oily and go somewhere.
So it's too oily. Anyway, headline is lacrosse burglary suspect leaves.
I don't really think you really meant that just then.
I'm tired. Okay, here we go. Cut. Retake. Headline is lacrosse burglary like suspect leaves money, probation papers behind, and calls 911 for help. Lacrosse police nabbed a suspected burglar who left money and probation paper. He's doing it wrong. Yeah. Left money and probation papers behind and called 911 for help getting back inside the business. Wait a minute. According to a criminal complaint, Randy Bolstad called 911 on Saturday afternoon to say he had lost money in
Little
Randy Bolstad in the King on 5th building and said he was going to break in if officers didn't respond. Bolstad said he could not explain to the dispatcher how he had gotten inside the building to lose his money, and police who responded were unable to locate him Saturday. Police responded to the building Monday after a caller reported his laptop computer was missing and said he found some odd items and some loose change in the bathroom of his business. In the bathroom trash can, an officer found probation paperwork for Bolstad. Officers found Bolstad Monday walking through the university campus without shoes, according to the complaint. When questioned about the theft of the laptop, he responded, "I choose death."
I choose death.
It must not have been a Mac.
Right.
Oh. Bolstad, who was sentenced in November to 3 years probation for robbery, was charged Tuesday with one count of burglary.
That's one.
He was being held on a $1,000 bond and a probation violation.
Bolstad sounds like it'd be some company named Bolstad.
Bolstad. Oh, man, Bolstad's boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about Ronnie?
Ronnie Bolstad.
Yeah, he's in jail.
Yeah, he's just hanging.
Yeah.
Hey,
what do you got?
This just in.
Go.
I'm going.
What, you're just taking your time.
What, you got somewhere to be?
Yes.
Man biting.
I got a plane to catch.
And now you're interrupting.
You must know.
Now you're interrupting me. You know plane to catch.
I got a plane to catch.
Would it be okay?
Hey, by the way, my wife called earlier.
Darn it.
She just found out that, you know how, I think it's Fox that does these live renditions of classics like Grease. They did Grease.
Yeah, and they
live.
Did Christmas Story.
Yeah,
which Christmas I heard Story. Was absolutely horrendous.
Well, they're doing Jesus Christ Superstar, which is I actually enjoy it.
I've never seen it.
But guess who's playing Herod?
Who?
Alice Cooper.
Really?
Yes.
I'm in.
I'm in too. Won't miss.
I heard Christmas Story was horrible.
I didn't see it. I did watch the Grease one, and I just couldn't.
The Grease one. Alice Cooper is Herod. Holy
yeah.
cow, I'm in.
I am too.
Hey,
yeah.
I pity this headline. Man biting passengers on JetBlue flight forces plane to turn around.
Wow, bite the pilot?
If you bite enough people, the plane will go into autopilot.
He
and
bit
turn
the pilot
over.
And he went, whoa, yeah.
whoa, whoa.
Turned his arm.
Los Angeles, a man biting his fellow passengers on a JetBlue flight forced the plane to divert to Las Vegas, where the man was taken into police custody. Police on the flight. Police. Like there were police on the flight.
Yeah, Sting and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Roxanne.
You know, if you're going to go through the names, have them ready, okay?
Sting.
Stuart Copeland.
Yeah, Stuart.
Andy Summers.
And Andy.
Okay. Passengers on the flight say that somewhere over Utah, they looked out the window and they went, "We're somewhere over Utah."
Utah.
The man suddenly began biting his seatmates, whom he apparently knew, and hitting others on a Sunday flight from Los Angeles International Airport to New York.
I see some bath salts in this man.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, because he's biting people. You know, it turns you into a zombie is what it
does. It turns you into a living,
naked zombie.
An actual zombie.
Yeah.
I mean, you eat people's faces.
Yeah.
Doctors on the flight tried to help by examining the passenger, but were also attacked. Other passengers said he jumped in. Another passenger said he jumped in to help restrain the man.
That's a brave person right there.
I grabbed his hands behind his back and held him there while the flight attendants put on the restraints. Said a man who asked only to be identified as Tom.
At least he wasn't unnamed.
Yeah, right. At that point, he started yelling and trying to come towards the flight attendant behind me at the time. I really had a heck of a time keeping him in place there.
Thanks, Tom.
No problem, Aaron. The pilot turned the plane around and landed in Las Vegas, where JetBlue says the customer was escorted off the aircraft. You know what they should do?
What?
Open that door without the steps and kick them out of there.
That's what they should have done, thrown him on the tarmac.
I mean, that's a good 20-foot fall, right?
Yes.
Remaining customers resumed their scheduled flights to New York without further incident.
Nice.
There's nothing nice about that. What is wrong with
you? Well, they turned around and booted him off. I mean, everybody was a couple hours late to where they were going, but other than that.
But they should have just kicked him.
Why was he biting people? Oh, they didn't serve food.
Well, bath salts.
That's what we're saying. I'm thinking it was. Headline is, UK surgeon admits signing his initials on patients' livers.
Okay, this has happened a lot.
Has it really?
Yeah, this has happened a lot. This has happened with... I know stories of when, I think, during hysterectomies, things like that. Doctors doing it's cocky, well, arrogant, like narcissistic. No,
what it
stuff.
Is their surgery is their art,
and it all doesn't great work that way.
All great artists sign their
works. Doesn't work that way.
This is from London, right? A British surgeon has admitted assaulting two patients by burning his initials into their livers during transplant operations. Simon Bromwell pleaded guilty Wednesday to two counts of assault in a case a prosecutor called without legal precedent in criminal law. Bramhall used an argon beam coagulator.
Argon?
You got some of those in the garage, don't
argon
you?
Argon is a gas. Check it out sometime.
Which seals bleeding blood vessels.
It's a coagulator, too.
An electric beam to mark his initials on their organs. I wonder if he touched the pianos or just their no. Was your move on.
I'm just move on.
Expression.
Keep going.
Prosecutor Tony Bonnack says that the brandings were an intentional application of unlawful force to a patient under anesthesia and an abuse of Bromwell's position.
Anesthetized.
The 53-year-old surgeon resigned from Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Birmingham in 2014 after another doctor's discovery of what he had done resulted in disciplinary proceedings. He is now free on bail, but he's due to be sentenced January 12th at the Birmingham Crown Court in Central England.
Yeah, look that up. There's some weird stories of docs doing that kind of stuff.
Dude, that's their art.
I'm telling you, yeah, and
yeah, and
how much are they going to pay when the person finds out?
I don't know. I mean, how are they going to find out? How are you going to find out?
It's been found out. I don't remember how, but look it up.
He must have been bragging to somebody.
Look it up.
Talking to a nurse. Hey, you know what? You see that man right there?
Look it up. Well, no, people are in the room when he does it.
He's got his initials on his. Yeah, he's got my initials on his liver.
But people are in there while he's doing the surgery. They can see what he's doing.
If I was a doctor doing that, I would do REO. And that way, if they ever found it, they wouldn't know.
Kevin Cronin shows up on the news, arrested.
He said, it was Gary. I had nothing to do with it.
You're picking on Gary again.
I'm not picking on Gary.
Hey, I pity the headline. Cops allegedly.
Yeah,
Aaron,
we don't know for sure.
Find gun hidden in a Chipotle bag.
What's weird about that?
Who carries a gun in a Chipotle bag?
Well, you can carry a gun anywhere you want.
I guess you could carry it in a Ziploc if you want.
Sure. You could carry
it
in a Donna Karen bag.
Hat box.
Yeah, you could a pill box.
A pill box.
Yeah.
No, it'd be a very small gun though.
Yeah.
You carry it in a cup.
You could carry it in a tree.
You could carry it, look at me. You can carry it over there. You can carry it under your hair.
You can carry it anywhere.
I don't care. A Fountain Hill man who reportedly threatened another man is accused of stashing a gun in a Chipotle bag.
Why is this news?
I don't know. You pick the story, not me. Police said Anthony Grajales, his footprints in the snow led police to the bag, which was dry and snowless in a snow-covered backyard. Okay.
That's been there all day, man.
Thanks, officers, for that very precise description of the snow, of
clue.
The bag, and how dry it was. A 22-year-old Grajales was arrested and charged with carrying a firearm without a license, aggravated assault, and harassment. He was sent to Northampton County Prison in lieu of a $35,000 bail.
You don't want to go to Northampton County Prison.
No, Southampton's not so bad.
Not so bad there.
Police were called a little after 3 p.m. Monday to the Dunkin' Donuts on South 4th
That's
Street
why
on
I
South Side.
Yeah, donuts.
A woman told officers she confronted Grajales, I guess I'm pronouncing that right.
I think so.
Because she believed he was hiding a gun in his waistband. He yelled, Grajales yelled at a man that he was going to catch some. Could be talking about fishing.
Yes. Or a cold.
When the man least expected, police said. So he said, you're gonna catch some.
Yeah.
You don't expect it.
I'm going to pop a cap is what he's saying.
No, he's saying you could get the flu, a cold.
You're going to catch some.
You catch something when you don't expect it.
Flies.
Grajales and the woman fought. They fought.
Yeah, they fought.
And he allegedly spit in her face.
I spit on
you. Police followed his footprints in the snow in between the buildings to the back of the neighboring home where they allegedly found a .22 caliber Ivor Johnson Super Shot 8. Was it a camera or a gun? In a Chipotle bag.
It was a Canon Super Shot 8.
It was an Ivor Johnson.
It wasn't a gun. It was a Canon.
It was a Canon .22 caliber Ivor Johnson edition. It's like the Eddie Bauer. It was in a Chipotle bag. The bag was not wet or covered in snow, despite being snow-covered yard, police noted. Well, who cares?
I do.
Who cares about how it was found?
That story is just bizarre. I think it was just the dumb criminal in the story that made me put that on there. I don't know.
Isn't that what keeps this show going?
Hey, we got a story here, Craig, about spontaneous combustion. Pew. You ever thought about spontaneous combustion?
I saw the movie Spontaneous Combustion.
I didn't know that was a movie.
It was a drama. It was a thriller. Whatever.
Was it? Was it a thriller from Manila?
It had Brad...
Pitt.
No, Brad... crud, I know the guy's name.
Brad. What is calling Brad?
Anyway, the guy does Chucky's voice.
Bride of Chucky. The Brad of Chucky.
He's going to bug me now.
The Brad of Chucky.
The Brad of Chucky.
Anyway.
Brad Dourif.
Okay.
Brad Dourif.
Yeah, I could have told you that. Everybody knows that.
He's in it, and it was a boring movie.
Okay. But have you ever really thought of it? I mean,
no, because it's stupid.
What do you mean it's stupid?
Nobody just burst into flames.
Certainly they do.
Would you pay $1 for me to burst into flames right now?
Yeah, I'd do it for I'd give you $10.
I mean, the show has nowhere to go but up.
In smoke.
Oh.
Headline is, police mystified as London pensioner burst into flames on street.
I don't believe it.
A pensioner has burst into flames in front of horrified people.
Yeah, after he doused himself in gasoline
on a London
street,
leaving investigators baffled. There was no gasoline to be found.
Why, we're baffled.
John Nolan.
Hey, mate, does that leave you baffled? It leaves me baffled.
There are so many cases of spontaneous combustion. I mean,
it's right up there with Bigfoot for me. Sorry.
Okay, whatever. There's a scientific explanation.
Right.
It's called
catching on fire.
John Nolan caught fire as he strolled down Orchard Place near Tottenham Hotspurs football stadium.
They didn't see the surface-to-air missile that hit him just before he went into flames.
People walking past rushed to help the man in a desperate attempt to put out the flames. Fire crews raced to the scene.
Wait. There is no time for racing, okay? Why don't you get in your car, your little fire trucks, and drive down there properly?
Fire crews raced to the scene and extinguished the fire before Mr. Nolan was airlifted to a specialist burn unit. But the retired construction worker later died from his injuries. However,
because he was just a pile of soot.
However, despite an extensive investigation by a fire brigade.
The
cause is still unclear and no trace of accelerant was found, Craig. No trace of accelerant. He just burst into flames. Investigating officers.
I think that's a typo. It was supposed to be no trace of deodorant.
Detectives are mystified as to how the 70-year-old was set ablaze.
Hey, mate, I'm mystified.
And have today launched an appeal for information.
So now they're launching stuff.
Yes. Investigating officer PC Damien.
Oh, he's very politically correct, that guy.
Said, we have spoken with a number of the witnesses who saw Mr. Nolan ablaze, but we have yet to establish how the fire started. Mr. Nolan was a well-liked member of the community, and none of our inquiries have so far indicated that he had been involved in a dispute of any sort. Nor does this account given by any witness suggest that he had been in contact with another person at the time of the fire.
What about the last word somebody heard him say? He said, watch this.
Puzzle detectives are treating the
death. Wait. Why do we have puzzle detectives?
Because they don't know what happened.
Are they the guys that come in and find the last piece that's missing?
They solve Rubik's Cubes. Puzzle detectives are treating the death as unexplained while they search.
We just explained it to them.
No, you didn't. It's spontaneous combustion.
The guy set himself on fire.
He did not. There was no accelerant found. Mr. Nolan's heartbroken family paid tribute to the Irishman earlier this year.
Okay, he was Irish. It was alcohol that lit. The accelerant was the alcohol.
If you want my body on fire.
That was Scottish.
Saying he had moved to the capital from Mayo in the 1960s. He was thinking about moving to Mustard.
But yeah.
Brother-in-law, Tom
He
Byrne,
wanted to catch up with everyone else.
told the Irish Post, John wouldn't have hurt so much.
Wait. Now the guy's talking to a Post?
Yeah. In fact, he'd find a way to bring the butterfly home and care for it. He was a gentle man who would do anything you asked him. Teresa Intervent from the Harney Irish Center near his Tottenham home said he was a very kind man and we're very shocked with the news. It's just horrific.
You said be careful with the guy. You get him mad, he'd just explode.
That's not funny, Craig. It's a real thing, man.
Hey, this just in. Another human foot washes ashore in Canada. That makes 13.
What's up with Canada and these feet? I thought they were on the metric system.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that's a good point. The exceptionally high tides this time of year off British Columbia can turn the rocky western coast of Vancouver Island into a graveyard.
That's pleasant.
Bones from gray whales, sea lions, and killer whales wash ashore, piling on the beach along fallen evergreens.
Yeah, that's where people throw their Christmas trees.
Right.
Yeah.
I go
to Canada and ditch mine, and it's fake.
The family and I would always drive up from Tennessee to Vancouver every year to dump
our
Christmas tree.
Throw the plastic Walmart tree out.
Right. But on Thursday morning, Taz, he's that little guy that spins real fast and runs, a six-year-old Rottweiler sensed something different about a bone tangled in the bed of kelp.
Yuck.
Taz darted away from her owner, Mike Johns.
Is that his real name?
I don't know. To inspect it, sniffing a piece that jutted out on a beach in the hamlet of Jordan River.
What is that, some kind of Shakespeare play?
It was the Shakespearean.
Come see Hamlet of Jordan River.
Her instincts were right. Johns,
it is to be a foot or not to be a foot.
I'm going to give you that look again.
It washed.
Her instincts were right. Johns followed behind her and pushed away the kelp. Get away, kelp. Revealing his dog's find, a tibia and a fibula attached to a left human foot. Well, yeah, it was left. Somebody just left it. They left it there.
And it wasn't right.
No.
That's not right at all.
With a white, like this garnishment that it had on it, a white ankle sock.
Racist.
And a black running shoe.
Oh, I guess it's not racist. Got them both.
In any other part of the world, a sneaker with a human foot washing ashore might be a terrifying discovery, enough to frighten residents and stir fears of a gruesome murder or serial killer on the loose.
Where's the rest of this body?
Well, it doesn't bother them in British Columbia,
no.
Where these discoveries have become so common that they are tracked. It was the 13th foot to wash ashore.
Yeah, people collect them now.
Since 2007. I hear they put them in drinks. It's just a freak thing that happens here, said Johns, 56, who lives in Jordan River, a surfer's village about 70 miles.
Lives under the water, does he?
Yeah, southwest of Vancouver. Johns said...
He lives in a pineapple under the sea.
You're going to be quiet.
I'm sorry.
Johns said he called the police and then used a stick.
Sting and
Yeah, he called
Stewart.
The police to pick up what remained of the leg, carried it back to his property, and locked it in his greenhouse. That's so it would grow.
Yeah, he wanted to grow. He wanted to go into a yard.
He was going to go back into a person. He worried that if it remained on the beach, it would have washed back into the ocean or attracted the bear hanging around town.
There's
or
only
an eagle
one?
From a nearby nest. There's just the bear.
The bear. Well, hey y'all, there's the bear.
There's the bear. This is the part where you continue.
Headline is: this angry inventor has a special gift for package thieves. The more time and money Jeremy Barrow spent to keep people from swiping packages off his front porch, the angrier he got. He showed police in Tacoma, Washington, crystal clear surveillance video of porch pirates strolling onto
porch
his...
Porch pirates?
Yeah, you know what a pirate's favorite band is?
Shut up. Go on with your stupid
story. A porch pirate's favorite band? He'd show police in Tacoma, Washington, crystal clear surveillance video of porch pirates strolling onto his front yard and then making off with what he could only assume were the Jeep parts and electronics he'd paid for, but they were never any arrests. As he grew more incensed, he realized he wanted more of the identities or charges or even the stuff in the boxes. He wanted more than all that, Craig. You know what he wanted? He wanted revenge. So then the 34-year-old had an explosive idea, and he burst into flames and spontaneous combustion.
No.
No, he didn't.
He didn't.
He didn't.
Because that's not real.
He said, I was thinking, how could I scare them and make them drop my packages and never come to my front porch again?
Their front porch again.
Barrow told the Washington Post, and I thought, getting shot at is scary. That'll make them think twice. With that, the blank box was born.
The blank box.
In my research for the show, I watched the videos.
So it makes noises like it's...
Yeah, he's got a empty shotgun shell that actually goes off when you lift up the box, and these people freak out.
Oh, man, that's great.
It is great. Although Barrow has been thinking with his device for nearly a year or tinkering with his device for nearly a year, interest has peaked this month as Americans increasingly turn to the internet to buy presents for the people they love, but face the added worry that their gifts somehow won't make it. Have you ever had anything stolen off your porch?
Not that I'm aware of.
You know, in our area, that doesn't really happen much.
It happens down the street in Hbill. Yep.
Yes, it does.
You know, it's
that's a big city, though.
But I just can't believe how brazen people are, especially since people have, like, Ring doorbells that have the cameras and
stuff.
I think we talked about this.
Yes, we did.
How do you... It's not some grainy surveillance camera. It's like 1080, like crystal clear video.
There's so many ways. There's so many cameras everywhere now. I don't see how people get away with any kind of crime at all.
And with social media, you think that, you know, I see it all the time. Someone will post, here's a picture of some scumbag that stole something.
Yeah, me too.
And you think somebody would say, pick up and say, oh, wait, that's...
That's Craig. That's Craig.
That's Aaron.
I know that guy. He's a weird.
Nobody's that short. Except a toddler, maybe.
Have you done all your Christmas shopping?
Yeah.
I mean, because it's two days away, Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Did you do it all online?
Yeah, actually.
I did too. I did every bit of mine online in one day. And on my way home from work, here's a little story for you. I drove past Opry Mills Mall.
Shopry Mills.
The traffic to get
stupid.
On the
Intertramp
was backed up 2 miles.
It reminds me of when Opryland was open. We were
yes,
kids.
That's
and you're
right.
sitting in line waiting to get in.
And I'm thinking, don't these people have internet?
Don't they?
Why are they? I haven't been to a mall in years. The last
Not
time
since
I
you
did,
worked there.
Yeah, the last time I did, I was an employee. I do all my shopping online. Anyway,
I want to speak for everyone when I say, I'm so glad you shared that with us. That was intriguing. That was insightful.
Americans are shopping online as often as they take out the trash nowadays.
That is not true.
About 58 million Americans shopped only online from Thanksgiving Day to Cyber Monday, while 51 million shopped only in stores. So that's 7 million more that shopped online than actually went out and shopped in the stores.
Well, I mean, I want people to shop in stores because, you know, we can't, even though we might order things online a lot.
Yeah.
There are times we're going to want to go to the store to get something
that we want. I mean, besides groceries.
No,
I'll order a TV when I need one.
I want to see the TV.
Well, go look at a TV.
It's like that stupid...
do your research.
That stupid car place we'll just call Driverama that puts your car up in a machine.
Car Mama.
And,
it's a vending machine for cars.
Called Car Mama. And it's like... You know, if it works for them, great, but I'm sorry. I want to see it, and I want to drive it. I'm not going to
that's a little different.
Apparently not. People are eating it up.
Yeah, but it's still a little different than saying I need a new pair of jeans. I got to get in my car, drive to the mall, try them on.
With clothes, that's another thing. You really do need to try them on. They're all different.
I never try clothes on.
That's because you just wear like a towel. Did you finish your story?
No. 750 retailers participated in free shipping day earlier this month. Which meant that they were giving customers peace of mind knowing that their order is guaranteed to be delivered by Christmas Eve. But unless, of course, those dreaded porch pirates interfere, Borrow's concept for alleviating that anxiety is both simple and devious, if that word can be used to describe getting back at someone trying to rip you off. The nondescript dummy box is placed in plain sight when an unsuspecting thief lifts it, a 12-gauge shotgun blank goes off. A video surveillance
system.
Someone
will find a way to hold the guy liable.
Yeah, but he's got his channel on YouTube that's pretty awesome. He must live in a high crime area. But those people, I mean, they busted. One guy flew off his porch and just face planted right in his yard.
But can't you see it turning around somehow to be his fault?
Sure. Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Are we done now?
I guess that's all I've got of that.
Well, this is Australia. No, that's my story.
Yeah.
I kind of moved ahead because I got bored.
Well, you just skipped right over the rest of my story.
I'm sorry, what? I'm not going to complain about how long that is.
No, you did good this time. You spoke over it. That's what we're supposed to do.
What are we talking about?
Australia.
Hey,
mate.
Australia, mate. This one comes from down under. Australian police accidentally broadcast arrest plans on social media. Crazy, mates.
Mates.
Aren't they crazy?
Yes.
Go have a blooming onion.
That's not an onion.
Australian police accidentally broadcast on social media details of an operation to arrest a suspected North Korean agent.
Ooh.
3 days before he was taken into custody.
Kim
Jong reported. The Sydney-based man, described by the authorities as a loyal agent of North Korea, was arrested on Saturday and charged with trying to sell missile parts and technology.
What kind of wacko is living in the beautiful land of Sydney, Australia, and he's a loyal agent of North Korea?
Well, he likes the weather.
it's magical there.
Yes, right.
I mean, he's free. Skip it.
Why would you go back?
That's what I'm saying. I don't get that.
I don't get why I can't finish that sentence.
That's good people in Australia,
anyway,
mate.
He's trying to sell missile parts and technology on the black market to raise money for Pyongyang
they got
in breach of international sanction.
They got DK. They got lots of nice people. That's not a people. I'm just mumbling.
Can we just all sit back and wait for you to get this out of your system?
Go ahead.
But a minute of conversation about the case between federal police officers, including the timing of the arrest, was broadcast on Periscope. Is Periscope still a thing?
Periscope. I will take sometimes I'll take a look at Periscope, see what's going on.
Periscope last Wednesday and linked to on Twitter, the West Australian Report reported on Tuesday.
You know, my hero Rick Burgess
this is
has
the West Australian
has a Periscope, and that's pretty much the only reason I keep
that's
it around.
That's because he drives a submarine. They all have Periscopes.
Up.
Anywho.
Go ahead.
The newspaper said, the newspaper.
It spoke?
Said it had listened to the discussion, which included a suggestion that officers are not going in all guns a-blazing, mate. It's only a half a dozen people.
Wait, you need to say
this. And a forensic van.
You need to use my Korean-Australian voice for this.
I don't have that.
Come on now.
Not good. I don't have it. Yours accidentally happened. The paper added that while the tweet
was fun watching you try.
I know. The paper, it's crossing wires to do that. That's like going into areas of the brain.
Yes, mate.
The paper added that while the tweet was deleted, the broadcast remained live and was watched by 40 people. All 40.
40 whole people.
That is 39 more than we've got on this podcast that listen.
Hi, Randall.
Before it was also, well, Marcus,
Pops.
Two.
Pops.
Three.
Yeah. My brother says he listens, but I don't believe him. As a matter of fact, let's do a little test.
How is it?
Hey, Alan, if you're listening, text me when you hear this.
And use the code word smorgasbord.
No, he can't spell that.
Oh,
Bloomin' Onion.
No, that's too easy. Code name.
That's not a knife.
No, that's too easy. Hey, Alan, just tell him if you listen.
Yeah. Okay. No, text me right now.
Text him if you're listening right now and say,
"This is a test.
Bob's your uncle."
Yeah, that's a good
there
one.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bob's your uncle.
We don't have an Uncle Bob, so that'll work.
This is an Australian story.
Because I can't say I know Bob's my uncle.
Yeah, okay, so Alan's going to text you and say Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, because he listens.
Okay, but if he didn't, we're going to report back.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Okay, now,
stand
ready?
Stand by. Yeah, don't hold your breath, though.
The paper added that while the tweet was deleted, the broadcast remained live, which I mentioned, and was watched by all 40 people.
40
before it was
people.
Removed from the publication, after the publication alerted federal police. It was only by luck that no details of the identity of the target were revealed, the West Australian added. Who is this guy out west that keeps telling them everything?
He said North. He's a North Korean
West
faithful.
He's a North Korean
West Australian. Yes.
Federal police confirmed part of the conversation was mistakenly broadcast via its Periscope account while testing a piece of social media broadcasting equipment, mate, and eating a blooming onion.
We didn't know it was live.
That's not Periscope.
That's not a video.
Steps have been taken to ensure that such incidents will not occur again, the force said in a statement. The matter has been referred to the AFP, which is the Australian Federal Police Security Area, for review, mate.
That's hilarious. Headline is, trapped man heard yelling for help in a ravine. Turns out to be a goat. Help! Police and fire crews rushed to help a man desperately yelling for help after getting stuck in a Queenstown ravine, only to find out it was actually a goat.
But the goat's like, I am stuck, by the way.
Thanks a lot. Nah.
Nah.
You need some help?
Nah.
A concerned passerby called emergency services on Sunday afternoon after hearing what they believed were the distressed shouts of someone trapped near George Road in Arthur's Point.
Are there many things funnier than watching those goats go?
No. Bwah! I love it.
It cracks me up.
I can't get enough of it.
It's actually more intellectual than listening to you talk.
But I enjoy watching the pygmy goats, the baby pygmy goats bounce around. That's my favorite.
Oh, those are fun too.
Yeah. Police dashed to the site and a search and rescue crew was notified, but after scouring the scene, decided it was more likely the fraught calls for help were actually the bleats of something rather more sure-footed. A spokesman said police are confident the calls for help were actually the sound of a goat. We made an assessment. We spoke to the caller. We advised search and rescue and police went to the scene, but our unit were confident that the calls were goats. The spokesman promised police never kid around when
kid
it comes to public safety.
Around.
Yeah, it's
get
funny.
It? Kid.
We take any calls for assistance seriously.
Time for the Mark Patch top 10 Christmas movies of all time.
Yeah, we only have a couple more holiday-themed top 10s.
But the Mark Patch Top 10. Top 10 Christmas movies of all time, according to a pretty good source.
Yes. And Rotten Tomatoes. The thing is, we've had Top 10 Christmas movies already.
Oh my gosh, number 7, I'm going to murder somebody. I'm going to murder somebody.
I was so looking forward to that. Anyway, this one, I'm going to do a few from different sites because they're different. So this is Rotten Tomatoes, which is a good
sign. I want
sign.
You to start because I'm going to explode on
number 10 of the top 10 Christmas movies all time, according to Rotten Tomatoes, A Charlie Brown Christmas from 1965. Do you remember when that first came out?
No, I wasn't alive yet. You were.
Yeah, you were.
Number 9, as we mentioned earlier, A Christmas Story.
Great movie. I'm a little burnt out on it.
Number 8, we're hearing about it again. We're going to watch this.
Arthur Christmas from 2011. Number 7.
2011.
Go ahead with number 7.
Number 7, top 10 Christmas movies of all time. Not a Christmas movie, Die Hard.
Darn it.
It is a Christmas movie.
What is wrong with people?
I was so happy that made the list.
Good grief.
There's a couple more on here, I think. Number 6, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Which is a teeters between two holidays.
Yeah, but I like that movie. It's from 1993.
I love that movie. It's Tim Burton. Number 5, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Now, is that the cartoon or the Jim Carrey?
What year
was
it?
1967.
Yep.
It was the original.
You remember when that first came out? Were you excited? Stayed up late? Watched it?
Well, I was one. No, I wasn't one yet. I was zero.
Yeah.
So I love the thorough Ravenscroft version of your horrible and your mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Yeah. Number 4.
He was Tony the Tiger, by the way. You get free information here.
Oh, that was odd. Number 4. I've never heard of this movie. The Shop Around the Corner from 1940.
Now, you of all people should remember that.
Yeah. It had Jimmy Stewart in it, so I'll probably watch it.
Number 3.
Another thing about that movie, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hey.
Yeah.
Number 3, I've stayed at one of their expresses. Holiday Inn. I don't know how that's a Christmas movie, but I'll tell you what. You got me at Continental Breakfast.
That's a weird movie.
I don't know that movie.
My sister loves it, and I tried to watch it. It's just too old. It's just too old.
Too old.
Yeah.
You're too old.
Number 2, Miracle on 34th Street from 1947.
Was that Natalie Wood in that one?
Yes.
The little girl?
The little girl was Natalie Wood, yes.
And number 1, top 10.
One of my favorite, all-time favorite actresses.
Yeah.
Love her.
Top 10 Christmas movies of all time. Ready?
Yeah.
Number 1, It's a Wonderful Life.
And that's a fantastic movie. You know, we saw that at the theater recently,
a couple of years ago. You saw it when it released in the theater.
Whatever. It's the 40s, man.
You know Alfalfa's in that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Which one is he?
The guy that looks like Alfalfa.
See, he's the one that says, hot. No, that's he.
It's in the scene where the floor opens up in the pool.
That's
he's
right.
He's in there somewhere. Fancy. He looks just like just a little bit older version.
May he rest in peace.
He looks like the Alfalfa just after Iron Gang and right before he was shot. He looks like that.
I thought Buckwheat was shot. Okay.
Gotta go. See you later. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Hey, next time we talk to you, it will be Christmas.
Hey.
Yeah.
It'll be Christmas Day.
That's right. Christmas Day.
I take it back.
Monday.
I'll say Merry Christmas now. I'll say it again later.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Be careful. I hope you have a white Christmas.
That's racist.
Hope you have snow.